So let me begin the regular meeting of the Board of Directors of the Upper San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District this morning, August 10th, 8 a.m. And those that have the agenda, let's follow it by going to item number one, Pledge of Allegiance. So, Ruben, can you cue that up for us, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Great, thank you. We'll go to item number two, roll call of the Board of Directors. And Vanessa, can you please call the roll for us?
Director Fellow?
Here.
Director Trevino?
Director Trevino did send me a text early this morning saying he was not going to be able to make the meeting.
Thank you, Tom. Director Garcia?
Here.
Vice President Santana?
Here.
President Chavez?
Present. Thank you. Let the record show that four directors are present for this meeting. We'll go to item number three to adopt the adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the agenda as presented. With no further discussions, Vanessa, please call the roll.
Director Fellow?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Vice President Santana?
Aye.
President Chavez?
Aye. Thank you. That passes on a 4-0 vote. We'll move to item number four, public comments. Anyone wishing to discuss items may do so at this time. There is a time limit on remarks as requested. So, Vanessa, do we have any people that wish to present themselves to the board this morning?
At this time, President Chavez, we have not received any written comments. However, anyone in the audience wishing to make a public comment may raise their hand using the raise hand feature. If you're calling by phone, you may dial star 9 to raise your hand and star 6 to unmute.
Okay, I'll go ahead and pause for about 30 seconds to see if there's anybody wishing to address the board. If not, we'll go ahead and move forward, and if someone comes in late, I'll welcome them to the board at that time. So let's go to item number five, presentation 5A, the 2022 Water is Life Art Contest winners. And is Patty going to be leading that, Tom?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Welcome, Patty Cortez.
Good morning, directors. Good morning. President Chavez. I have Jennifer Aguilar, our water use efficiency analyst, give this presentation. So this is her first official presentation to the board on our winners. So be kind to her. Jennifer, are you ready?
Yes. Good morning, everybody. We are going to present our 20 winners for our art contest today. Vanessa, if you can pull that up for me, or Ruben, whoever's doing it. Perfect. Ooh, you're getting a preview. There we go. Okay, so this is our 2022 Water is Life Art Contest. Go ahead and go to the next slide for me. So we had 178 submissions this year, which is really great considering we were still partially COVID at some of the schools. 16 schools submitted art. And 27 teachers within those 16 schools submitted artwork from their students. We had all five districts participate, which isn't necessarily always the case, but all five districts had at least one school, if not more, participate in the contest this year. So we've definitely done better with our outreach. And we had 17 people voted virtually for these winners. So we'll roll to the next slide. So these are our winners for our kindergarten through second grade category. Next slide. Okay, so fifth place was a second grade from, it's actually La Rosa Elementary, I apologize, Molly Zhang. This was her art. Next slide. Our fourth place winner was a second grade, Joel Koh from Cedar Lane Elementary. The third place winner was a kindergartner, Cleo Huang from Arroyo Pacific Academy. Our second place winner was second grader Patrick Wong, and he submitted from LA Art Academy. And our first place winner for the kindergarten through second grade category was Yuki Guan, also from LA Art Academy. So our third through fifth grade category winners, this category had the most submissions. I believe it was over 100. Joseph Wang, fourth grader, was the fifth place winner from LA Art Academy. Our fourth place winner was a third grade, Tiffany Wang from LA Art Academy. Third place was a fourth grader, Yolanda Zhao from LA Art Academy. Our second place in this category is a fourth grader, Katie Liu, also from LA Art Academy. And our first place winner in the third through fifth grade category was a third grader, and I apologize if I butcher your name, sweetie, Miley Lee from LA Art Academy. Our sixth to eighth grade category winners, fifth place was a sixth grader from Twin Lakes Elementary, Jacqueline Luna Morrow. Our fourth place winner was a seventh grader from Temple Intermediate School, Guanren Wang. Our third place winner is a seventh grader from LA Art Academy, Fiona Lee. Second place is a seventh grader from Cedar Lane Academy, Tyler Liu. And our first place winner in the sixth to eighth grade category was an eighth grader from LA Art Academy, Julia Yu. And our final category is our ninth to 12th grades. These were probably the hardest to vote for. So our fifth place winner, the 12th grader from Temple City High School, Emily Zhao. Our fourth place winner is a ninth grader from LA Art Academy, Phoebe Zhu. Our third place was Los Altos High School, an 11th grader, Aneli Aguirre. Second place is an 11th grader from LA Art Academy, Iris Zhu. And our first place winner was an 11th grader from Los Altos High School, Tiffany Chen. So those are all of our winners for this year. The art was amazing. We had a really hard time voting. The votes were very split on how this went. We're so excited to have your artwork and to send you your prizes. Each of these students will be receiving a prize and a special prize that Ruben and Patty and I have sort of coordinated to display their artwork for them. And then their artwork will also be on display at our Waterfest event. And we're going to start using some of the artwork on some of our social media and other avenues to sort of display these amazing talents of these students. So thank you so much. Thank you for submitting your art. We hope you consider submitting again next year. We'd love to see your art again as you grow in your skills. You're all doing so amazing. Thank you so much.
I see some of the artists are joining us on Zoom this morning.
Yes. Yeah, we have a handful of our parents and students decided to join us today. Thank you so much for coming. We really appreciate it, and we hope that you are celebrating. We are celebrating you from afar.
Okay, well, thank you. Was there any, I wanted to make some comments, but was there any more items that we needed to discuss on this?
I just wanted to have Jennifer explain what the next steps are. These winners will be submitted to the Metropolitan contest. And then Jennifer, I believe we will have a separate board meeting. We will make the award presentations to these students. Is that correct?
So they are all submitted to Metropolitan. They were submitted at the beginning of the month. So some of these students might win a secondary prize through Metropolitan. It does typically happen. So we'll see who wins from that. And then because we aren't in person, we were going to send them their prizes on their own. They've all received emails from me. We're working together to get them their prizes to drop their things off so that we don't have to have them come in to see us right now.
Thank you.
Okay, well, that was excellent. When you were doing the presentation, that I'm viewing this through my phone, I was doing some screenshots on some of the artwork. They're just amazing. We just had an art contest out here in San Bernardino County. And, God, with all due respect over here, those were Picasso's. Those were Van Gogh's that we're seeing. So kudos to the talent that we have in our district. Love it. Thank you.
Yeah, we get some great art. We love being able to use it and to share it with the district.
Okay. Can we go to item number 6? Are we done with 5?
President Chavez, I wanted to add a little something if I could.
Oh, please do.
Noticing this artwork, you know, it was really, it really got the message across too. Obviously a lot of talent here, and seeing a lot of the pieces had the juxtaposition of the drought. I think that's kind of clear that that's in everyone's mind versus how important this resource is for our livelihood, and what a beautiful way to express that and continue the great work. It's a lot of beautiful pieces there.
Thank you. Any other comments?
Yeah, Mr. Chavez, this is Tony. I just wanted to, first of all, say that Ms. Aguilar is a born broadcaster, did a great job. And as Director Santana said, I'm very impressed with the artwork. And I'd like to encourage these young people. I'm very involved in the Monrovia MAFA group, which is the group of artists throughout the San Gabriel Valley, and I encourage them to join. We're going to have a big chalk fest coming up that they might be interested in, but very talented, very good work. Thank you, Mr. Chavez.
Thank you.
Mr. Chavez, if I may, it's Director Garcia.
Absolutely.
I just want to say congratulations. As an educator myself, I think it's so important that we use all these different mediums to communicate how important just saving water and the severity of our drought. And I think you did an amazing job. And I just want to encourage you to continue this, because we need people to communicate ideas in different ways. And this is just such a beautiful opportunity for you. And I'm so happy that you got to participate. Thank you.
Thank you. And I just wanted to close by saying, yes, this is a water is life, and it theme, and it runs directly to what we're trying to do as a district. But if those that have seen the Van Gogh live art in L.A., my wife and I, we went, it was about 2 months ago, I guess it was, when they had it there. But to see artwork, not on the canvas, but on a wall and just moving, it was so incredible. If no one had a chance to see that, I would encourage it if it ever comes back, or another artist. But yeah, I'm not a art major. I know Dr. Fellow is an artist himself, and much talents as well. But to see something like that come to life, it's just amazing. So kudos to all those who participated. Thank you. Let's go to item number 6, or committee reports. There are 3 committee reports there: government affairs, administrative and finance, and water resources and facilities. Of those 3, those reports are presented to us in our packets, but if any chairs would like to add to any of those reports, may do so at this time. If not, thank you for your work. And we'll go to item number 7, the consent calendar. There are 6 items on the consent calendar. Can I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the consent calendar as stated on our agenda. Vanessa, can you please call the roll for that motion?
Director Fellow?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Vice President Santana?
Aye.
President Chavez?
Aye. Thank you. That passes on a 4-0 vote. Appreciate that. We'll go to item number 8A. And that action item is an update, actually, for Pure Water Southern California. It's informational only. So, Tom, can you help lead us into that discussion?
Certainly. So I'm pleased to introduce John Bednarski, Chief Engineer with Metropolitan Water District. You've heard from John before on this project and other things, but given as we go through this current drought crisis and what Upper District is looking forward to in terms of solutions, the Pure Water Southern California Project, formerly known as the Regional Recycled Water Project, and what we still refer to it occasionally as the Carson Project, but the new official name, and I think this might be permanent, is the Pure Water Southern California. So John's going to give us an update. Metropolitan is also working on some legislation on the way they are able to do project delivery that hopefully will allow for some expedited work on the project, and certainly we support that. But with that, I'll turn it over to John to fill in all the details.
All right. Thank you, Tom, for that introduction, and it's good to see all of you again. Good morning. Directors and Mr. President. Vanessa is going to help me with this presentation. So if you want to go ahead and cue that up, Vanessa, that would be great. So let's go to the next slide. Tom already stole some of my thunder with announcing the new name of the project, but I'm going to cover that anyway. I'll give you an overview. And some of the things that Tom and I talked about was trying to give you an update on some of the recent accomplishments and some of the activities that have taken place since I last presented to your board. And then we'll talk about some of the continuing coordination, team activities, and what's next on the schedule for the program. Next slide, Vanessa. So yes, there was a name change. We always knew that the Regional Recycled Water Program name was going to be temporary. It was a placeholder. Now that we're moving into the CEQA process and we're getting ready to issue the notice of preparation later this summer, we wanted to really codify the official name of the program. So we went through a process at Metropolitan, both internally and with external input, and arrived at the name Pure Water Southern California. A lot of similarity of this name with other pure water projects in California and in the southwestern United States. We've gotten really good response and feedback on the name, and you can just see some of the new banners and logo that our external affairs group have worked up to accompany this. Next slide. So you all will recognize the alignment of our pipeline system here. This is really pretty much the same as it was before. I think, Vanessa, if you give one mouse click, that'll lay in sort of what we call Operation Next that's being developed by the City of Los Angeles, Los Angeles Department of Water and Power, in conjunction with the Bureau of Sanitation. We're in close coordination with them on their developing system too, but we feel we're quite a bit ahead of them. Our online date, as you can see from the schedule on the right-hand side, is about 2032. They're now looking at 2045. So from the schedule on the right, you can see we're in the environmental planning stage, and I'm gonna talk a little bit more about the second item there, some of the early start projects. You know, there's a lot of interest in this program, especially with the deepening drought. Interest by our board and our general manager talking to staff about, can we get going on some aspects of this program earlier instead of waiting, till the CEQA activities are completed to actually start work. And so we think there are some opportunities, and I'll talk about those in a few minutes. Next slide. Um, So let's talk about some of the uses for this water. And I know that a number of you are familiar with this, but I kind of wanted to zero in on the areas that are probably of most interest to you up in the San Gabriel Valley. The program at full build out is sized at 150 million gallons per day, as you can see on the left side of this slide. Originally, this program was envisioned as an indirect potable reuse so that all of the water produced by the program would go into groundwater replenishment. But we now know that the state of California and the Division of Drinking Water is developing regulations that will provide a pathway for us to use this water for direct potable reuse, as we call it. Now, Metropolitan is not currently planning to put this purified water directly into our finished water feeders, but instead we're going to do what we call raw water augmentation and take that water up to both the Weymouth plant and the Deamer plant, where it will be blended with incoming supplies of state water and Colorado River water, retreated, and then sent out into our distribution system. So that's really going to be a small part of the first phase of the program. And the first phase is 100 million gallons per day, as you can see on the left-hand side. And then the full build-out, additional 50 million gallons per day, takes us to 150. But let's talk about the main San Gabriel Basin. We've been working closely with Tom and your staff, with the water master, Tony Zampiello, and with your consultants, and have identified about 43 or so million gallons per day of replenishment into the main San Gabriel Basin at the Santa Fe Spreading Grounds area. And then recently, we've entered into discussions with San Gabriel Valley MWD. This is a new partner in the project. We've signed a letter of intent with them recently. And so we're talking about using their canyon spreading grounds to deliver approximately 15 million gallons per day. Right now, they're a state water contractor, so they receive water from Department of Water Resources. So we'd be looking at doing some sort of an exchange where we would deliver 15 million gallons per day from this program to them, and they in turn would release 15 million gallons per day of state water project that we could use somewhere else in our system. And I'm going to talk in a minute about some of the other benefits of working with San Gabriel Valley MWD and the use of the Azusa pipeline. So if we can go to the next slide, Vanessa. So I talked briefly about program acceleration, and this is an area that we're really digging into deeply now, and it's something, an effort that we started about 6 months ago. And so we asked, why would we want to accelerate the program? I think the drought is probably the most obvious. We want to get this program going quickly. But we also believe that if we're able to start work on this project, and the work that I'm talking about is primarily design activities that would start typically after the CEQA effort is done in 2024. So we've been talking with our general manager about launching those design activities now as a way to reduce the overall risk on the program so that we can bring the whole thing online by 2032. We also know that there's funding opportunities, both from the state of California and the federal government. And if we're able to show that we're moving on design activities that are going to lead to future construction projects, we feel we have a good chance of tapping some of the funds for that, those efforts. And then, of course, the drought is there, and we want to put ourselves in position that we can start construction as soon as the CEQA process. And that's going to allow us to provide early deliveries of water, and I'll talk about those in a few minutes. So what are some of the opportunities for the program acceleration? So early delivery of projects, producing water as quickly as we can, and also starting some of the design work on different parts of the system. We've got over 40 miles of pipeline that need to be designed and constructed. There's areas up and down that pipeline corridor that we feel are low risk that we could start design work on pretty much right now. So next slide. So what are some of the guiding principles that we're using for identifying projects that we could start early? Well, they have to be cost effective. They have to fit within the overall program schedule. And we also don't want to have any stranded assets. So we don't want to develop a portion of the project that then gets discarded later on when the full program comes online. We don't want any of our work to delay the CEQA process. So we don't want to start moving in a direction that would mean we'd have to go back and rework the some of the CEQA activities. So we think there's a lot of good reasons for starting early work now. Primarily, that's going to be design work, is we're limited and we can't really start any construction work until the CEQA process is completed. Next slide. So here's some of the things that we're looking at, and I'll start on the left-hand side because that's what people really grab onto, is where can we make some early deliveries of water? And quite frankly, the early deliveries of water are going to be around the treatment plant down in Carson. We recently received approval from the City of Carson for the pipeline alignment, about 6.5 miles of pipeline alignment through the City of Carson. So we're going to be recommending that we start design on some of the early works for that pipeline and also start design work on the initial 30 million gallons per day of treatment from the plant. And what that's going to allow us to do, we feel, is be able to get some deliveries going from this project by about 2028, so about 4 years earlier than bringing the full project online. But what I also want to point out is we're recommending that we start some activities on designs on the rest of the conveyance system. Again, this is a 7-foot diameter pipe going for about 40 to 45 miles. There's a lot of areas where we know where the alignment's going to be, and some of those are listed on the right-hand side of this slide. So we're going to be recommending that we start working on some of the pipeline and spreading ground features up in the Santa Fe area, some of the tunneling alignment down through the Whittier Narrows area, and then other portions of the pipeline that as we can get those approved by the different cities and communities that we're going through. I mean, we're anticipating that getting the approval of the City of Carson and say the City of Long Beach, those are just the first two cities that we have to get the blessings of city councils and elected officials. We're going to have to do that over and over again as we work on these alignments. So we're going to be recommending that we move out post haste in a lot of these different areas all along the pipeline alignment. And the expectation would be that by starting early designs now, we can start early construction in some of these areas. So you're going to see construction efforts hopefully starting all up and down the alignment as we're able to get those designs done. Next slide. So here's some of the early deliveries down around the treatment plant. We have been working with the Los Angeles Department of Water and Power. They have what they call their harbor loop system. They need connections to our system to be able to provide water down to the Los Angeles Harbor. We know that Water Replenishment District and West Basin are looking at transitioning their entire system to an advanced water treated product going through their system. So we're contemplating making deliveries to them. Also, the City of Long Beach has expressed interest in receiving some early deliveries of water. So again, this would be kind of the low-hanging fruit in that first 6 miles or so of the pipeline through Carson, making those service connections and delivering water to these folks by 2028. Next slide. But then recognizing, as I just mentioned, that we have 40 miles of pipeline and there's a lot of different opportunities where we can start early design work so that as soon as this environmental process is completed, we can start advertising for construction bids, construction contracts, and start working in different portions all along the alignment. So I guess what I'm trying to say is we're not going to be just starting in Carson and then slowly working our way up the pipeline alignment. I think once the board approves this program and we get CEQA completed, we're going to be starting construction in areas that are locations of opportunity, locations where things are not changing, where we're able to get the rights of way set up. And I've gone through a number of these, but you'll be seeing a lot of this work up in your area, I'm very confident, in very early times into the program. Next slide. So we're also looking at opportunities of where to spread this water. And over the last 5 years that I've been working on this project, we've been really looking initially at down in the lower left there. You can see that's the Los Angeles County Flood Control. These are the basins that currently spread the water that you all receive from Metropolitan, the untreated state water project supplies. So we've been working with the county on that. But as I mentioned, we've also had some really good discussions with San Gabriel Valley MWD, and they have the Canyon Pond shown in the upper left. And then there's also the Santa Fe Dam spillway area. So we're talking to the Army Corps of Engineers, LA County Flood Control. This is an area that's very, very rarely used to spread water. And we think this has a really good opportunity to be used as an area to spread our advanced treated water. And then finally, on the right-hand side, LA County Flood Control is now in discussions with United Rock Products to purchase United Rock Pit number 3. This has been on the market for sale for a while. I think the county is very close to pulling the trigger on this, and this would give us another opportunity to spread water for this program. So a lot of exciting developments in this area, but this is one of the keys to the program, especially for the main San Gabriel Basin. Where will we be able to spread this water on a near continuous basis? Next slide. And here's another exciting development, we think, is the use of the Azusa pipeline for what we call direct potable reuse. So in our conversations now with San Gabriel Valley MWD, what they do is they receive state water project through the Azusa pipeline from Devil Canyon After Bay. It goes about 30 miles through this pipeline, ends up at their basins 1 and 2. And if we're able to put our product water into their basins, and that's how they get their replenishment supply, they would no longer need to use the Azusa pipeline. Well, why is that important to our program? Well, as you can see in the bottom right, the Azusa pipeline just happens to run right past the Deamer plant. So this would be a great way for us at low cost to the overall program to be able to deliver between 20 and 30 MGD of this highly treated water to the Weymouth plant and begin doing our DPR, our direct potable reuse application at both Weymouth and Deamer plant. So we think this is a great way for our two agencies to collaborate in order to bring this program to completion at a potentially much lower cost. Next slide. So we're continuing our coordination with the different cities and communities with, working with LA County Flood Control, the Army Corps. We're also collaborating now with Arizona and Nevada. You may have heard about that. We have agreements with them. They're helping us to fund the environmental planning process. They're hoping to be equity stakeholders in the program in the future. And through that arrangement, they would provide funding for us to build this program. And in return, we would leave some amount of our Colorado River allocation on the river for them to use. But it's going to be a long process to garner all of these approvals that we're going to need to go through these cities with this very large pipeline. So we're starting early, and hopefully this will go relatively smoothly over the next 18 to 24 months. Next slide. And so some of the activities that we're doing right now, most of the focus is on the environmental planning or the CEQA efforts. And on the right-hand side, you can see our schedule. The first really significant activity will be issuing what we call the notice of preparation. That's coming up late summer, early fall, late end of September timeframe. And that really puts everybody on notice that we're preparing the environmental documentation for this program. We're expecting by the middle of next year, we'll have a draft of our EIR out on the street and then finalize that EIR in early 24 and then go to our board for certification of the EIR in about the March timeframe. And what that'll do is that's a really important milestone because once our board certifies that, we're able to start construction on the project. We're able to go out and acquire properties that we need for pipeline alignments. We're able to make acquisitions of other things that are important to moving the program forward. So that's a very, very important milestone that we're less than a year and a half away from. Next slide. So what are some of the important things that we're working on now? This is Governor Newsom recently visited our Advanced Purification Center down in Carson. We're talking to him. I know our general manager is about receiving some state funding, upwards of $500 million from the state with their budget surplus that they have right now to fund our program. But we've got to figure out how to meld the cost of this program into our underlying rate program or rates for Metropolitan. And so we've got what we call a cost of service analysis that staff has started right now. And we're planning to bring that to our board later this year. Obviously, there will be some pretty deep discussions with our board about the program and the rates and how that the bonds that we're going to be issuing are going to be paid back and how that's going to be spread across our rate base. But then an important action has to take place, and that's the third bullet. Our board has to actually capitalize the program, and that means that it becomes part of our capital investment program, and we can actually start doing design work on the program. Right now, we're doing all of our work for the environmental planning process on our operations and maintenance budget. And so we really need the board to make a decision to move forward with it. And once they do, then we can start design on it. So we're continuing to pursue state and federal grants and funding and starting to really take a deep dive on some of the early start and early delivery activities that I talked to you about earlier in the presentation. So some of the things that we're looking at is getting to our board by the end of the year, having them capitalize the program, start work on really nailing down some of the early delivery agreements, those deliveries around the Carson treatment plant area. Want to get those in place by the middle of next year, and then also start bringing consultants on board to help us with some of the design activities. So all of this activity is planned to take place by about the middle of next year. Next slide. And I think that brings me to the end, Tom. So I'd be happy to answer any questions and really appreciate the opportunity to give you an update today.
Thank you. Any questions from the board of directors?
Yeah, Mr. Chavez.
Yes, Dr. Miller.
John, thank you for your report today. You made me very happy. At each of the NET meetings, I keep badgering the chairwoman and Adele because they meet frequently with the governor in, on this project in Sacramento to speed it up. We can't wait 10 years. And so I'm very happy with you presented. And I don't think this has been presented to the board yet. Is this part of the One Water Committee meeting on Tuesday?
Actually, I think in E&O in, June was our last presentation. We gave an update. Not all of this information was presented, though, Director Fellow. You're correct. So you're seeing actually some of this for the first time.
Yeah.
In September, we'll give another quarterly update at E&O.
Yeah, I think it makes me very happy to hear this. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to it coming to Matt. And also, I just wanted to mention, you know, we were in Washington, and I think Senator Feinstein's stream bill and Grace Napolitano's bill moving through Congress are going to give us some big chunks of money for this project. So I'm very happy with that. But thank you for a thorough report today, and thank you for the update. And I'm Good. Sure the board will appreciate this, too. Thank you.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments?
Yes, if. Director Chavez.
Go ahead.
You mentioned, and I missed this. I almost paused you. What you had said that I think what's the original timeline for 2045 on this project, or something about 2045?
Oh, that was for the City of Los Angeles and their program. So they have a much more extensive program than we do. And their timeline is now out to 2045, but ours is 2032.
I see. Okay. This is all a lot of new information for me. I didn't realize how far along we were with this project. It's great to see all the cities kind of coming together on this with the early deliveries and everything. It's really fantastic.
Yep.
And then you mentioned the Santa Fe Dam and the spillway there and possibly putting some storing some water up there. Is that correct?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. So there is a bike trail right there, the San Gabriel River bike trail. Do you see that kind of changing? We're going to see some more water in that area at all? Or?
We're going to have to work with the County Flood Control and the Army Corps to kind of work through all of those details, Director Santana. I mean, we haven't gotten to that level of granularity yet, but we will be. I don't expect that we're going to change any of that. We're going to try and work within that existing footprint. I don't recall if the bike trails go right through the spillway area or not. I mean, if they did, then they would need to be relocated. The ones I'm familiar with go up on the top of the dam and kind of go around from there, but there may be some other ones.
Okay. Yep. All right. Thank you very much.
Sure. Thank you for the question.
Mr. Chavez, can I ask one more question?
Yes, go ahead, Tony.
This is for Tom Love. John mentioned about this spreading this water in the San Gabriel Basin. Where are we looking at spreading it right now?
So the primary spreading area will be the Santa Fe spreading grounds. The reason John talked about the spillway area as a potential spreading area and the United Rock Pit 3 is when we have a lot of local water, when we're spreading local water, we're going to make that a priority because it's free water. But this project needs to have a continual flow. We can't turn it off. And so we'll need some secondary spreading areas to put this water in the event the Santa Fe spreading grounds are full of local runoff. So that's why they're looking at the gravel pit and the spillway area.
Oh, good.
Let's hope we have that problem.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And if I could add just one more thing, I noted on one of John's slides, phase one of this project is 100 million gallons a day. Our demand on this water is 58 million gallons. We are 58% of phase one. And so we're a very important keystone or cornerstone of this project in terms of running it at full capacity. So I think we can keep that in mind. We are planning on a significant amount of water from this project.
I've always referred to you as the anchor tenant for this program.
We like that.
Yep.
Okay. Well, excellent. Thank you, John. And thank you for the work that you're doing for not only for the Upper District, but the whole Southern California and really the whole state. Thank you.
Thanks for the opportunity to address
you. Can we get a copy of these slides?
Yes.
Okay. Be great. Great presentation. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Thank you. Looking at our agenda, we're going to 8B, Executive Management Employees Personnel Manual. It was approved by our Administrative and Finance Committee. And Tom, can you elaborate on this action?
So this is something that came out of our strategic plan of a few years ago, is to develop executive employee manual so that the management employees of the district are in a different category than the regular employees. And there are several reasons for doing that. This has gone through committee twice. And as mentioned, it is supported by the committee. The main elements of this employee manual, benefits and other requirements, are summarized in the staff report. The last thing that I will add that's not in the staff report is our recommendation is that if the board does approve this, to make the effective date July 1st, 2022. And I'd be happy to answer any questions or elaborate.
Thank you. Any questions from staff? If not, is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
And to clarify, Director Fellow, does that include the effective date of July 1st?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Okay. So it's a motion on the floor with that amendment. No further discussions. So, Vanessa, can you please call the roll?
Director Fellow?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Vice President Santana?
Aye.
President Chavez?
Aye. Thank you. It passes on a 4-0 vote. We'll go to 8C, which is a resolution endorsing WaterSmart. And Tom, can you discuss that one?
Yeah, we're applying for some federal grant funding, U.S. Bureau of Reclamation WaterSmart program. In order to complete the application, the board needs to take this action and adopt this resolution confirming the board's intent to apply for this federal grant funding.
Okay, so is there a motion to approve?
Move.
The resolution?
Second.
It's been moved, and who's second?
It was Garcia.
It was Garcia that seconded that? Great. It's been moved and seconded to approve the resolution 08-22-645. And Vanessa, can you please call the roll?
Director Fellow?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Vice President Santana?
Aye.
President Chavez?
Aye. Thank you. It passes on a 4-0 vote. We'll go to 8D, which is a surplus assets here. And Tom, can you tell us what this is?
If you haven't noticed, outside the building in the southwest corner, behind a chain link fence is a engine generator set that is backup power for our office. It's not backup power for the entire building. It's just for Upper District. This was purchased in 2013, and this was part of an effort under regional emergency planning, where the concept was Upper District's office would serve as an emergency operations center. So that's the primary reason that the backup generator was installed, to make sure that power was available in event of a natural disaster or emergency. As we are looking to move into the new office, there's a couple of things. One is the electrical system at the new office is not capable of allowing that generator to be connected. Secondly, currently it is apparent that Upper District's office will not serve as an emergency operations center. So therefore the generator is no longer necessary. So we do want to surplus it, the board to approve it as surplus and authorize staff to sell it. We think we can, get at least $10,000 for this. We already have a verbal offer, for that amount, but, we want to advertise this broader, and for any producers on the line, if you are interested or know of anyone who might be interested, let us know and we'll get you the specifications on it. So we can get this generator moved on to a better use.
Thank you. And we need a vote on that?
Yeah, the board needs to declare that engine generator as surplus and authorize the general manager to sell it for at least $10,000.
Great. So that's the suggestion. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second, Santana.
It's been moved and seconded. Vanessa, Art, anybody have any questions on this item before we move forward? If not, Vanessa, please call the roll.
Director Fellow.
Hi.
Director Garcia.
Aye.
Vice President Santana.
Aye.
President Chavez.
Aye. Thank you. That's a 4-0 vote. That passes. We'll go to item number 9, informational items. There are press release and news articles in your packet. We'll go to item number 10, attorney's report. So do we have Mr. O'Neill?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. A couple of items to report on. Just on some administrative matters. Of course, we viewed and edited the executive employee manual that the board approved this morning. Worked on some issues with Tom and staff concerning construction at the new office building. Reviewed, worked with Evelyn on a draft telecommuting proposal. Reviewed some contracts for the district, including your copy machine agreement, and also did some research concerning the new water use restrictions that have been put in place. On the litigation front, we do have a status conference coming up in the judgment. As you may recall, Judge Duffy in the L.A. Superior Court has continuing jurisdiction over the judgment, and it looks like she's requested a report on the drought and the criticality of the drought and how the basin is managing that, and Water Master's Council is responding to that. And lastly, I'll report, as I have in the past, intermittently on the San Diego versus Metropolitan litigation. That trial concluded in early July with testimony, and now we're going to have closing arguments at the end of September, and I expect a ruling sometime likely in October. That's a challenge to the 2003 exchange agreement that Metropolitan entered into with the San Diego Water Authority. The impact of that to this district is that Metropolitan has significant, or San Diego is asking for significant damages from Metropolitan, which, of course, could affect Metropolitan's bottom line. So with that, I'll conclude my attorney report and, of course, happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions from the board of directors? If not, thank you, Mr. O'Neill.
Thank you.
We'll go to item number 11, engineer's report. Is Mr. Johnson there?
Yes, I am. I'm here. My video is not working right now, but I am here, and I'm not shy. It's good to see everybody. There's not a whole lot to report right now. We do most of our accounting, the hydrologic accounting, on a fiscal year basis. So here we go. Boom. There you go. So July 1st sort of started our accounting, and we're just barely in August. So things like rainfall, spreading of water, import of water deliveries, there's really not much information to report there. I will let you know that San Gabriel District has a very small allocation of state water project water, their PLA entitlement for this year. And they're doing some pipeline maintenance work. We'll see a little bit of water around 1,300 acre feet, I guess, in September. But no information on water delivery. That's why it was refreshing to hear Mr. Ranowski's report today, because visions of water everywhere and needing spreading grounds is out there. We can all see it. We just need to experience it. The key well, I'll give you the key well elevation. On August 5th, it was measured at 181.3. It's still dropping almost 0.7 of a foot this last week. We've been watching it pretty carefully because we've seen some significant drops of the key well over the last 2 or 3 weeks. We made efforts, a significant effort, actually, to do a couple things. One is double check measurements. We've had two people go out, two different machines measure it, because the drops were on the order of between 0.5 foot and over 1 foot a week. So we've double-checked those measurements. They're correct. We also double-checked back historically to make sure that this was not something that was an anomaly, something completely, something we hadn't experienced before, setting some kind of precedent on the key well. It's not. We have seen this before. So we believe the measurements are accurate, it's not unprecedented. So we're seeing a drop in the elevation, as I mentioned, 181.3 just on the 5th, historic low 169.4. Tom will provide, your general manager will provide a report, I believe, on deliveries of imported water, working very hard on getting whatever allocation we can of state water to the basin, and certainly still working on the Colorado River deliveries of the Fargo plan. So that's about it for Key Well, San Gabriel Reservoir inflow, inflow from the watershed, 10 CFS, very, very low. It's very dry up there, as you would expect. These things are, it's tough to get that dry up there because then when we get rain, we lose a lot of that rainfall right into the watershed. We don't see the runoff. No deliveries are reported on San Gabriel District. Again, rainfall, no reason to report rainfall. Our periods start July 1. It hasn't been very wet. So although there has been some water out in the deserts, but just not here. Water quality, this is done through the Water Master, the Title 22 program. During July, 57 wells sampled. During June, 17. And we, Stetson, have not received any new notices of well shutdown, new well shutdown due to water quality. And I would be happy to answer any questions.
President Chavez, if I could ask Steve a couple of questions on the
absolutely. Key,
the Key Well, you know, and Steve's right. We are concerned it's dropping so quickly over the last few weeks. And Steve, I know we're gonna do a more in-depth review of that, our Key Well projection going forward, given how quickly it's dropped. But back in June, after the deliveries that the county made in the month of, I believe it was the month of April, you know, we typically see what's called a mounding effect, where shortly after spreading operations at Santa Fe, the key well goes up pretty quickly, but then it comes down quickly and that mound subsides. We didn't see that. And I'm wondering if it was delayed for some reason this year, if that's part of this rapid drawdown over the last few weeks. But I just wanted the board to know that we're reviewing this information carefully, because we are relying on a forecast for the Key Well as we look at water planning and replenishment deliveries that can really affect how we move forward over the next 6 months. So thanks.
Thank you. Any questions from directors? If not, Mr. Johnson, thank you. I'm glad your video camera's working. You look good.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's go ahead and move to item number 12 then, General Manager's Report.
Yeah, the first thing I want to do you see the written GM report show up?
Yes.
Okay. So I don't know if the directors noticed this, but we've changed the format of the General Manager's Report. It used to be several pages long, not an easy, quick read. And I want to give credit to Jennifer Aguilar. She, you know, anytime you get a new employee, you want them to bring some changes because, before they get indoctrinated. So Jennifer came up with this format. It's more of a dashboard approach. It's 2 pages, long. And, if I want to hear from the directors, if you like this, it has essentially the same information from the old longer written report, but in a more concise, readable, format. So I wanted to draw your attention to that. I'm going to stop my share. So a couple of other updates, actually several. Well, since Steve just finished his report, I'll talk about our drought actions. I gave a very detailed update to the Water Resources and Facility Management Committee meeting last Wednesday. Just to put it in a concise context, we have some immediate actions we have taken. The board has adopted the emergency water supply resolution. We've asked our agencies to go to no more than 2-day-a-week outdoor watering, calling for a 20% reduction in water use to preserve the water that is indicated by that key well elevation. And then the other, which we won't be able to do it immediately, but in the short term, is get the regulatory and local approval to deliver Colorado River water to the Santa Fe spreading grounds. In my mind, we have essentially concluded our discussions with LA County. They are prepared to join us and support presenting the quagga mussel control plan to the California Department of Fish and Wildlife to engage with them in discussions. And then we have several activities over the winter months that we will take on to make sure we are prepared to make that Colorado River delivery as early as April of 2023 if conditions remain dry. So that has finally, it's been a hard, effort to get through our discussions with the county, but I think that has helped us create a more robust quagga control plan and a better chance of getting the Fish and Wildlife approval. So the other question that has come up recently is, I think everyone's seen the news and heard about the critical conditions on the Colorado River. And that is a concern. At this point in time, I would say there's a reasonable chance that sometime between now and next spring, the Metropolitan Board may go into a full allocation under their water supply demand management program or allocation plan, I should say, that could affect how much water we're going to get water from the Colorado River, but how much is in question. So under that allocation plan, our available water, if they are on the baseline, is about 29,000 acre feet. If they go into a stage, let's say stage two allocation, then we would get 26,000 acre feet. The other aspect of this that I'll be working with Metropolitan staff on is we, with Watermaster, voluntarily deferred delivery of water from 2021, fall of 2021. Metropolitan still owes us that water. I believe that water should not be included in the allocation if one is made to affect our ability to get Colorado River water. So my approach is to see if we can get closer to, it's about 40,000 acre feet, at least, if not more, delivery from the Colorado River water. Now, of that deferred delivery from 2021, we will take 14,695 acre feet this fall, beginning October 1st. We're working with the county, Metropolitan, Watermaster to get that order in place so that on October 1st, that water will start being delivered. It will take about 30 days to get 14,695 acre feet into the ground. So that is underway. Then you heard what our long-term solution is from John Bednarski. That regional recycled water project will eliminate our dependence on state project supplies for groundwater replenishment in the district. So a couple of other things. I also at the Water Resources Facility Management Committee, I gave an update on the building. Short story is that the building completion is likely to be delayed into October at this point in time. So we're trying to expedite that and get a few of those supply chain issues resolved by looking at other vendors. But right now, I think we are planning on an October, late October, move in to the new building. I did inform the board, of, the departure of one of our employees, Nicole Delgado is now at Metropolitan Water District, and we are working on a replacement plan and getting prepared to advertise that position, so that we can fill that position as soon as possible. Also under our agreement with, Stephen O'Neill's firm, there is a provision for an annual fee adjustment based on CPI. That fee adjustment went into effect, Steve, if I'm not mistaken, it was July 1st at the beginning of the fiscal year. And it was it 3%? I believe it was 3%. I should have had that number available, but I did want to inform Okay, I did want to make sure the board was aware of that adjustment on our legal counsel fee schedule. Also want to report for, I think it's the 11th year in a row, our accounting department has received the government finance, GFOA. Evelyn, I can't remember what that acronym stands for. Government Finance
Association. Government Finance Officers Association.
There we go. for excellence in financial reporting. And Evelyn, is it the 11th year in a row?
That's correct, Tom. And we're working on our 12th award.
Yeah. We're working on the audit for our 12th consecutive award. Very happy with that. Lastly, it is time for the board to do the performance review of the general manager. So I've talked to Stephen O'Neill about this. We will be sending you out the review form and some other information for your consideration. We are planning on having a closed session on that topic at the first meeting in September. President Chavez has suggested that we do closed session the same way most cities do, and do the closed session prior to the open session board meeting, and suggested that we start that closed session at 7:30 a.m. On that date and of that September meeting. Sorry, I don't have the exact date, but the second Wednesday of September. So I just wanted to see if I could get the board's concurrence. Does that time, that plan work for you? I see the heads being nodded. So President Chavez, it looks like we will schedule that closed session to begin 7:30 a.m. At the first meeting in September. September 14th is that meeting. And that concludes the general manager's report.
Thank you. Any questions for our general manager?
I did have a question, but
go ahead.
Tom, I just would just request an extra reminder, though, for the 7:30 closed session, just in case.
Yep, we will. In fact, what we probably should do is send the calendar invite out sooner than later.
Thank you. So with that, we'll go to item number 13. Go ahead. Questions on time?
Sorry. I wanted to say, I did notice the new format of the General Manager's Monthly Report, and I think it's amazing. So kudos to Jennifer. And I had a question. There was a presentation. I'm not sure if this is going to be brought up at the Metropolitan Report. So let me first ask, yesterday's Colorado River presentation, I wasn't able to attend. I think it was yesterday at 1. Is that going to be discussed?
Yes.
Okay. All right, then I will stop that question right there. Thank you.
Okay, we'll go to Metropolitan Report, item number 13, Dr. Fellow.
Thank you, Mr. President. The MWD reduced its number of meetings in July, and I think Tom and I have tried to keep you abreast of information coming from Met last month. I'd like to concentrate on three MWD issues today. As Jennifer just mentioned, you all received a link to yesterday's special workshop on the Colorado River, and many directors commented yesterday that it was probably the best workshop they had heard in their tenure at MWD. I also want to fold the Aqua Conference in Washington, D.C. in July into what was discussed yesterday, because it was also discussed at Aqua. And I got a preview of what was going to be discussed at Met yesterday on my way to Washington, D.C. I did not see her when I boarded the plane, but I got a tap on my shoulder, and it was Congresswoman Grace Napolitano, who was sitting kitty-corner to me. And through 4 hours of the flight, she started passing her briefing papers about water to me and said, we'll discuss this tomorrow at 2:30 when you come to my office. Her briefing papers all dealt with the sorry state of the Colorado River, the topic of yesterday's MWD workshop. Story after story talked about the low water levels along the Colorado River, and it got to the point that I looked up and said, Congresswoman, do you have any good news for us? The next day in her office, we discussed what was in her reports and our efforts to hopefully bring Colorado water, as Tom mentioned, into the basin in 2023. And she also wanted to know what we were doing with our conservation messaging and efforts to get people to conserve. She appeared very pleased. We had a very lengthy discussion in her office. Yesterday's workshop focused on the state of the Colorado River, one of the most regulated rivers, and today one of the most endangered American rivers. If you attended the meeting on Zoom or read the materials Tom distributed yesterday, you would have received a history of laws passed that govern the Colorado River, beginning with the Colorado River Compact of 1922, which divided the right to use the Colorado River between the upper and lower basins in perpetuity. The lower basin is adjudicated and governed by perfected rights settled in the U.S. Supreme Court case of Arizona versus California. The Secretary of Interior has a lot to say about the upper basin of the Colorado River, but it's the it is not the water master, since the allocations are divided among the upper division states on the basis of percentage of native flows instead of volumetric limit. Hydraulic shortages are common in the upper basin because water users mostly take water out of the river and tributaries rather than out of the reservoir storage. And here is where the problem begins. The Secretary of Interior has limited abilities to improve conservation in the upper basin. And so the purpose of the workshop was not only to give us a historical perspective of the various laws of the river regulating the Colorado River, but how MWD, and Tom, correct me if I'm wrong, may likely have to conserve 2 to 4 million acre feet if the drought worsens and the federal government calls for severe conservation measures. And this is why the workshop was called yesterday, because we have to come up with some plans. We were told this is the worst drought in the state's history and exacerbated by changes in the climate. Some discussions followed that the public really doesn't understand why this drought is so severe. They don't understand the upper and lower basin stories, and that perhaps it's time that MWD and water districts begin messaging and telling that particular story. Some measures that have been proposed, as you may know, to help solve water and deal with the two areas, agricultural lands and urban lands. It has been suggested that agriculture be subjected to greater fallowing programs in which farmers are paid for not growing crops yearly. However, some farmers are being asked, are asking for horrendous amounts of money, we were told yesterday. For the urban areas, on the other hand, we hear that greater turf removal programs may be a good solution. A lengthy closed session yesterday included various ideas for conserving water before the government tells MWD and water agencies what they must do. This is about all I can tell you, since it was a closed session discussion. I believe MWD directors will be presented shortly with various avenues for greater conservation and perhaps messaging to the public that really doesn't understand, again, the upper and lower basin operations on the Colorado. So in closing on this topic, I'm hoping I can come back to you with some concrete ideas and messaging for greater conservation of water. In addition, we are hopeful that the Federal Inflation Reduction Act, just passed by Congress and signed today by the president, may help California's water situation and MWD in particular. Both Senators Feinstein and Padilla were instrumental in getting language in the bill to help the water situation in Southern California. The second item I want to discuss with you deals with Ms. Ellen Mackey, whom I have never met and who bills herself as the chair of the MWD Women's Caucus. During June and July, she had come up with bizarre statements during the public comment sections of the MWD meeting. And among her stories in June and July dealt with how Chairwoman Gloria Gray and I colluded to place me on the MWD board. In July, she had a public recording of me praising an action by Chairman Gray and blurted out how she proved this collusion conspiracy. My quote had nothing to do with the subject she was talking about. She just took everything out of context. Frankly, most directors had no idea what she was talking about or cared. She started on some other directors, and frankly, as a city councilman and college board trustee and water board director, this comes up with the territory, and you have noticed that I do not respond out of respect for public comments, no matter how misinformed the statements are. Eventually, people hang themselves on what they say. The upshot is that after her last public comment in July, a letter was sent to Chairwoman Gray from Alan Shanahan, president of AFSCME, whom I have great respect for. He said, AFSCME wants to begin by expressing our displeasure and strong disagreement with the July statements and insinuations against persons on the MWD board and MW staff, including yourself, meaning Chairwoman Gray, who was the target of some Mrs. Mackey's comments. On July 12th, Mr. Shanahan continued, Ms. Mackey used a discriminatory term in some of her language, which was offensive. And he also said Ms. Mackey resigned her position and is no longer a designated representative, leader, or chair of the AFSCME Women's Caucus. nor an officer of our union. He said she no longer has the authority or permission to speak on behalf of AFSCME, its committees, members of the organization, and she has been advised of this several times. I have been in conversation with Mr. Shanahan. We're going to have a face-to-face meeting soon. Finally, the third major issue, which came up at last month, which I was involved, dealt with a release of the law group, Shaw Law Group findings, dealing with abuses by four women at Met. The question that ensued dealt with transparency and individual rights. Some on the board believe that the press should be handed the complete transcripts of individual conversations between MWD officials, ethics officers, and those who complained about abuses by MWD workers. I got involved in this conversation because I have sat in the chair as a newspaper reporter and editor where I touted transparency and wanted all the information I could get. And I also have sat as a university professor where I spend most of my office hours listening to very private conversations of students who had personal and academic problems and did not want this information told to the public. Director Glenn Peterson advanced a motion that private conversation should not be released to the press, lock, stock, and barrel. I talked about my two professions and seconded his motion, and a substitute motion was then presented that MWD be transparent and that all materials related to these four specific persons who filed complaints, including their private conversations, be released to the press. It also was discussed that redacted versions could be released to the press, but we were told that some of these materials would be 100% redacted. We also were told by MWD's legal staff that two complainants did not want any of their conversations to go public, and that MWD board of directors as a whole and individually could be sued by these individuals, and we're talking of millions of dollars. The final vote was not to release the information to the press and explain to them why they were being denied full access to the materials. A letter went out from the chairwoman explaining why we're not releasing that information. And that's where that stands right now. Finally, the MWD board of directors will be meeting next week because it's August. They meet in the third week. And so that is my long report. And Tom also mentioned about the upper district's efforts to bring Colorado River water in 2023. Sorry for the long report, but we will continue to grapple with these issues. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Any questions or comments on the report?
I just had a comment, President.
Yes, go ahead.
I got to watch most of the presentation yesterday, and I just found it like absolutely fascinating because not only do I like science, I like history, and just understanding like the history behind it makes me a little nervous because I know that like a lot of those laws were passed when we had like some of the wettest years in history. And so I just wanted to say I'm happy that the Met Board had this presentation because I think like context is extremely important. I just wanted to say it was absolutely fabulous. And I want to share this with everybody just to just give the public a chance to really like understand how important this is and understanding the context and history behind it. So thank you.
Thank you. With that, we'll conclude item number 13 and go to item number 14, Water Quality Authority. Just a couple of items. Just as the upper district is going through its contract and its lease agreement with our present office, the WQA is also going through a final lease agreement and created an ad hoc committee to review that. Secondly, a COLA was increased to its employees at 7.9, which is still way below what the rate of inflation was. I think the last time I checked, it was 9.1. So unfortunately, workers are still not keeping up with what's going on with the economy. The third action, when Randy took over as executive director, kind of left a void of one employee. And then recently we had another employee that also left the agency. So what the board did was we created the projects resource specialist that will be advertised for that position to be filled. So that way the agencies could still move forward. And just finally, there's a special board meeting tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Thursday, August 11th. And that will be a discussion with the regarding the executive director. His evaluation was presented to the board, and there'll be some further discussions on that. So with that, that's the report for item number 14. Any questions? If not, then we'll just move forward to Water Master Report, item number 15. The only one we have today is Dr. Fellow. Is there anything that you would like to add to that report,
sir? No, Water Master's been busy, and it's all in the written report. Thank you.
Great. President Chavez, Tony Zaffiello is on the Zoom meeting. I don't know if Tony wants to add anything to that report.
One of the things I wanted to mention is that, you know, when Steve was talking about the rate of decline for the basin and all of that, we experienced the same thing as we headed towards the basin low when we set the record. And at that time, the staff that I was working with was Kevin Smead. We kind of determined that part of it was due to the basin. It's not a straight cylinder. So it tapers, the bedrock tapers the deeper it goes. But what I did want to say is that it's been a tough row to hoe trying to get all the parties together on this Colorado River delivery. Hopefully we can make it in spring. And we also have, we're going to work with Tom here in the next couple of days to finalize what our orders are and how they might be, and then convey that to Metropolitan and the county so we can be queued up to make the deliveries we need to make. So I think that's it, Tom.
Thanks, Tony. I should have given you a heads up. I was going to call on you. But
thank you. So let's go to item number 16, AB 1234 compliance reports. Those are added in our packets. If anybody needs to add anything, may do so at this time. If not, then we'll move to item number 17, director's comments, and we'll start with Dr. Fellow.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just wanted to remind people that I'm on the Aqua Region 8 Executive Board, and I plan to help do the major work on this program we're having on Friday, which is August 12th, from 10:30 to 3:30. It will be at the Burbank Water and Power Building, and we'll include a discussion with Chairman Gray and Pam Tobin, who's president of Aqua. They will be present. And then we'll have two sessions. One is going to be on the future of Southern California's water supply, and Jeff Keitlinger, the former GM of Med and now at Pasadena Water and Power, will give a drought update. And he has a very great talk on the future of water in Southern California. And then we will have a session after lunch that deals with messaging. I wanted something that how are different agencies talking about conservation and getting their publics to conserve. And will be a panel, and with representatives from Long Beach Water District and the MWD, and our own Patty Cortez will also be talking about what Upper District's doing as far as its messaging. So I encourage you all to go. And there's also going to be a tour of the Burbank Water and Power at 3:30, I believe, or 2:30. So I hope to see some of you. I also want to talk about Mr. Chavez. I'm very sorry to hear about your father this morning. I was shocked. Died in his sleep at 96. I got to meet him at your inaugurations, and he certainly was very proud of you. And I certainly thought he was a very brave man. All the stories you told me, this is a man in his 90s who climbed up his fruit trees and sometimes on the top of his roof to clean out leaves. And I would not even do that. So I'd like to adjourn today in honor of Abe Chavez, and may he rest in peace. I'd also like to adjourn in memory of former state Senator Joseph Montoya, who was a friend and spoke to my courses, my graduate courses in media and politics almost every year. And his funeral will be in La Puente on Friday. And so thank you very much, Mr. Chavez.
Director Fellow, if I could just correct the Aqua Region 8 session. Yeah. has been moved to September 19th because of, and this is another passing that could be noted, is Jerry Gladback, LAFCO member, former AQUA president. His funeral is this Friday. So the Region 8 conference with Chairwoman Gray and Jeff Keitlinger is now scheduled for September 19th.
You know how many times this meeting has been changed?
So this is yes, new. I do.
And I'm one of the planners. Thank you very much. We had a lot of problems with AQUA. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you. We'll go to Director Garcia.
I just wanted to comment. I love the new visual director. The manager's report. I think that is a lot more accessible and just a nice quick read. And just if I were explaining things to people in the public, it's just a really nice way to kind of condense it and shorten it. So I applaud the new vision and direction for that. I think it's important to make sure things are accessible. I know we love water and we know like all the ins and outs of it, but I think conveying that in a really nice, pretty way is important. And I also wanted to offer my condolences to Director Chavez and his family. Like, what a blessing to have lived such a long life for your father. So I just wanted to send those condolences to you and your family.
Thank you. We'll go to Santana.
Thank you. Yes, I wanted to also offer my condolences to Director Chavez. And there's something that I also wanted to address. Director Fellow had commented on this a little bit in his Metropolitan report. And it was this narrative that's been circulating and was brought up a couple of times by Alan Mackey, who brought it up in public comment at Metropolitan. And it's this narrative that Gloria Gray and Director Fellow colluded together to basically replace Director Trevino as Upper District's Metropolitan Representative on the board. And that was done because basically Director Trevino was too vocal for, according to the narrative, too vocal for the Women's Caucus, for the sexual harassment allegations and the investigative report, and kind of angered or ruffled too many feathers of the current management team and the higher ups. And because of that he was removed from the board. I wanted to address this because it is completely untrue. I'm the one who nominated Director Fellow. I gave him a call. I asked him if he would accept a nomination to be our Metropolitan Representative. This item had been on the agenda for 2 years. Because it was a 2-year appointment to the Metropolitan Board. At the time that I nominated Director Fellow, I was really unaware of the details of the sexual harassment allegations, of the Shaw Law Group report. I was also unaware of Director Trevino's role in making that happen. However, what I was aware of, and I want to say this very carefully, what I was aware of is that Upper Districts was taking positions at Metropolitan that were kind of controversial when it comes to water policy. And I'm speaking solely on water policy. And it concerned me. And I was not the only one who noticed this. And I was not the only one who was concerned about it. So with that, we didn't have much discussion on the board as to why Upper District were taking these positions on water policy. But I called Director Fellow, as I mentioned. I nominated him to be someone that we might be able to appoint to the Metropolitan Board for this next turnaround. And that is because Director Fellow has such a long history of serving the San Gabriel Valley. As I mentioned at the time, I felt and I feel that he is the best person to represent the San Gabriel Valley and Upper District at Metropolitan. I mean, we just had this amazing presentation on the Pure Water Southern California. Director Fellow has been pushing for recycled water for decades before it was popular. And, you know, he has done so much to bring this into a reality. That is an accomplishment, and that is one accomplishment of many things that Director Fellow has done in his long career. And it is with that I nominated him. So even with that nomination, you still needed a majority vote from the board to get onto the appointments. And you did that. And that means, Director Fellow, that you have our board support. You absolutely have board support. So sorry that you're in these political crosshairs a little bit, but you are doing a fantastic job. And if there's anything that we can do here on this board to support you, to help you with this, then let us know. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jennifer.
I just want to echo those words, Director Santana. You said everything perfectly, wonderfully. I feel the exact same way, and I'm glad that you had a chance to say it. But I also want to agree that, like, I support Dr. Fellow 100%, and I think you've done an excellent job just being a water pioneer for recycled water and more sustainable future. So I just want to echo that motion of support.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you. My report... would also ditto those comments. Dr. Fellow has been an incredible person, not only a friend, a human, but a water buffalo for all of us. So thank you for that. I thank you for the comments for my family. Ooh. Just thank you. I'll just move on. We'll go to item number 18 and future items. If there's no future items, we'll go to there's no action on number 19, adjourned in closed session. We'll go to item number 20. And then, Tom, before we adjourn, is there any other business that we need to dispense with?
No, President Chavez. That concludes our business for the day.
Thank you. Okay. We are adjourned. Thank you.